1-800-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on Scottish Cup weekend. Rangers against Annan is first up. Two new faces already in the door at Ibrox. Could we see Andreas Skov Olsen in attendance at the stadium tonight? Martin O'Neill says Callum Wilson links are news to him, but does expect reinforcements after Auchinleck on Sunday. And there are big ties up and down the country. Potential for shocks, all Premiership clashes and romance everywhere you look. So with that in mind, the two most romantic pundits we could find tonight, it's Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
I know it's Scottish Cup weekend, Gordon, but in relation to the transfer window and the Championship, it was said that the transfer window could determine who finishes where in the Premiership. Well, on that basis, either Hearts or Rangers will win the league and Celtic will be third at best. The Celtic fans must be dumbfounded as they look at Rangers acquiring player after player, likewise at Tynecastle and at Celtic Park, fast asleep.
Martin O'Neill back in. Obviously, two victories and still the same questions being asked about transfers. We're far into January and they haven't had any work done. Rangers, the signings they're getting coming in with some good pedigree. They look like they're definitely going to be stronger. And Hearts again with 10 men back-to-back to come away with 8 wins. That sort of mindset that will build in that squad, and especially in the running, will be absolutely brilliant for Derek McInnes. But we're on to Scottish Cup weekend. Talbot looking to upset Celtic on Sunday, and Cammy Bell, a big Annan fan, I'm sure he'll be at Ibrox tonight.
Surely he's doing the half time draw. In fact, can't be many that have played for Rangers and Annan.
He could be the second
Annan, I should say.
He could be the second Annan goalkeeper. They'll need to.
01419511025. That's the number. So come on down. What are you thinking ahead of Scottish Cup weekend? Are you on your way to Ibrox? Perhaps. Maybe you're heading along to the game tonight. Probably not one that attracts a sellout crowd, but sometimes the opportunity for fans to go along, maybe for the first time, taking young ones along, cup games, that sort of thing. If you're in the car on the way, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to discuss the game itself, absolutely. I suspect the transfer business will take over a lot of the pre-match discussion in and around the stadium. Andreas Skov Olsen, I think most people expected the announcement by now. What does that mean? Will they do the old just before kickoff type thing or announce it later tonight? Or maybe it rolls on till the weekend. What are you thinking about his recruitment? I don't know if you will see any of the other new faces because one is a bit injured, I think it was explained by Danny Rule, and I don't know if Chukwuanyi is shaking off an illness to play either. So nevertheless, give us all your thoughts ahead of that game this evening. Celtic fans, I don't know what day this is of the inquest into your transfer business. I mean, it's the 16th day of the transfer window, but obviously the discussions have been going on a bit before that. So we've had the latest from Martin O'Neill. The latest name was Callum Wilson. News to him, apparently, according to Martin O'Neill. So does that disappoint you, or was it not one that you were particularly interested in anyway? And Martin O'Neill, loath to put an exact time frame on it, but says they would want them in before Hearts next week and does think that maybe they can start to middle of next week. Doesn't expect anything before the weekend. So all your latest thoughts there, Celtic fans. Did you expect by the end of this week to have something done? 0141 951 1025. And then let's just talk about the cup generally. You want romance, Auchinleck Talbot against Celtic. Yes, it's not at their own stadium. Yes, it's at Rugby Park, but still, the sixth tier, Auchinleck Talbot hosting the team that's won the Scottish Cup more than any other. It doesn't get more romantic than that. There are huge ties everywhere. A couple of all Premiership ones. I'm thinking about St Mirren and Livingston both really needing a victory there. Some local ones to us. Partick Thistle will host Montrose tomorrow. Motherwell have been getting all the plaudits in the world. Can you imagine? Their former manager Stuart Kettlewell went down and caused a shock with Ross County. What more could you want, Hugh?
Well, you could want Kilmarnock against Dundee, for example, with Neil McCann, the former Dundee manager, still bitter about the nature of his departure from Dundee. So he would like nothing better than to knock them out of the cup. And then there's St Mirren. Will St Mirren ever win another game? They've gone 5 games now. I think they've scored 1 goal in those 5 games, not won any of those 5 games. They've won a cup and fallen apart.
Neil Lennon as well, obviously,
of course,
ex-Hibs manager, Dunfermline v Hibs tomorrow, playing against his ex-player in David Gray. So you know what Neil Lennon will be like. He'll be fired up for that, looking to try and get a positive win for Dunfermline.
This round is brilliant, isn't it? Because obviously all the big boys are in, so to speak. And you do, you have that mix. Rangers v Annan, it'd be much more interesting if it was at Annan. I think that would be fair. And even Auchinleck, as we said, be better if it was at their home ground rather than Rugby Park. But it always brings up just a bit of everything, Hugh. Whether it goes as far as a shock, you know, Auchinleck, that would be hard to imagine. But you never know, as Macclesfield showed last week.
I was out with one of the cup managers last night at the boxing. My dear friend, Bruni. Air United away to Dundee United tomorrow. Bruni was looking terrific last night, looking forward to the game. So, everywhere you look, good ties.
01419511025. Come on, let's hear from you. Whether it is the cup tonight, this weekend, transfer window, something else entirely, we're here for you. Andrew McLean, whilst you get your calls in, he will set the scene for you at Ibrox.
Yeah, it almost seems a shame to be taking a break from league action with just how tight it is at the top of the table, but we've always got time for the Scottish Cup, don't we? Especially the fourth round of the Scottish Cup, as you guys were mentioning. Some interesting ties in there. Sometimes you get some shocks as well, so we'll see what happens across the weekend with, of course, this the first of all the games to take place. I've already seen the Annan players out there on the pitch with their phones out, taking pictures and videos. A real special night for those players getting out on this Ibrox pitch to play against one of the top teams in the country. It will be one of the biggest nights of the career for many of these players, so they'll hope that they can cause a massive upset at Ibrox tonight. You don't actually have to go back that far for Annan's last win here, but it was very different circumstances. Both teams were in the fourth tier at the time back in 2013. Annan won that game 2-1, but you just have to look at the Rangers team on that day to see just how different it was. The likes of Anestis Argyriou, Chris Hegarty, Emilson Cribari in the starting lineup for them. A completely different picture now as they battle at the top of the Premiership, showing that good level of consistency under Danny Rule, finding ways to win games, and they'll want to continue that into this competition. I would expect a few changes though in the starting lineup for Rangers tonight. Some fringe players getting a chance to show what they can do, and a bit of excitement as well for the fans coming here tonight, because they're likely to see one of the new signings in Tochi Chukwuane. It's my understanding he will be involved in the squad for tonight, although it is a bit too early for left back Tuur Roman. Still awaiting the official announcement of Andreas Skov Olsen as well, but you'd imagine he will be in attendance tonight. I'll give you the full team news as soon as I get it.
If they've got any sense of occasion, they'll wheel him out before the game. I don't know, hidden in the laundry hamper or something.
Do you know,
a bit of smoke, a bit of dry ice.
When Andrew mentioned 2013, 2 years after Rangers had gone into administration then liquidation, fast forward to the present day, they're signing players so far £7.5 million worth. Andreas Skov Olsen, if he goes to Rangers on a permanent basis, will take that spending closer to £20 million. Rangers are on the move. There's a shift in the balance of power in Glasgow, and I think the Celtic fans can see it, but there's nothing they can do about it because their club is stuck in a rut, and the transfer window illustrates Celtic's problems. They don't have a recruitment department. Martin O'Neill is coaching the players with Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham, and then the three of them are trying to source new players later in the day. That is a shambles.
Well, we will see what happens between now and the end of the window. Let's bring in Andy, who's a Rangers fan. Are you going along tonight, Andy?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. Just getting with my wee boy Charlie, about an hour away to Glasgow just now.
It's hard. I'm trying to strike that balance between like not being disrespectful to Annan. It just obviously, like we said there, it feels like when you go away to these places, sometimes that's where the kind of jeopardy comes. We're listening to Andrew McLean there, the sort of bad memories that will bring back. There was a time when Annan could go to Ibrox and cause an upset. I assume you don't think that type of thing's on the cards tonight.
No, if I'm thinking right, I was at that game, and it was the rare time I was in hospitality. It was at the beat us 2-1 and Andy Little scored. It seems like a long time ago now. But no, I wasn't going to go tonight, but given the turnaround in fortunes, the way we're playing, Danny Rill's performance, and the fact we're right back in a title race, and Andrew Cavendish putting his hands in his pockets again to correct the wrongs of the summer, then I feel the support's got an obligation to start getting along and just get behind the team, because we're fighting on two fronts. Obviously Europe's gone, but the cup's set to be won, and hearts are strengthening to a degree. I don't think they're having the greatest window so far, but they're doing something which is admirable. We are signing big money players, which again, that's great on paper. I would expect with the calibre of our signing, they do come in and improve us. And Celtic so far have that right back, who I don't think is that impressive at all. So, like you said, one side of Glasgow is in a bit of a rut, albeit apparently £80 million in the bank. The other side, I don't know how much we've got in the bank, but we're spending, and it looks like we're spending the right way as well. So I think we're making all the right moves for an assault on the league. And I just want to add, I was at the game a couple of years ago when Leicester won the league, when they beat Man City 3-0 at the Etihad. And for me, Hearts have got the next 4 weeks. If they can take 46 points when they play Celtic and then they play us, I think Hearts have won and won the title. If they don't, then I think it's Rangers to lose at the minute.
It's quite interesting. I wonder if Andy speaks on behalf of other Rangers fans in a similar position, Scott, because Annan at home on a Friday night in January in the Cup hasn't become more interesting in its own right, but the air of positivity around has grown, and that's the type of thing that's dragged Andy along tonight. I wonder if others are in the same boat.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I think also with the added fact that there's new signings potentially playing, fans always want to go down and see what kind of influence they're going to have in the team. Chukwuane, for me, I think he's the right sort of player. Yes, we haven't seen him play in a Rangers shirt yet, but just looking at his profile with physicality, I think he's exactly what Rangers need. Scott Olsen, although it's not confirmed that it's done yet, he has got a very good pedigree, and he's shown he can play under pressure at big clubs and score goals. So Rangers are in a good place. Obviously the new chief executive coming in as well, they've made up for the mistakes they made early doors in the season, which is all they could do. Could they go and put their money where their mouth is? They've done it again. So Rangers are in a really good place. They're not playing unbelievable football, but that's what winning games of football does. It gets fans back and gives you a bit of belief getting into this second part of the season.
I think Andy articulates the case very well. For the last 15 years, Celtic have not had credible, I underline the word credible, opposition from Rangers. If you look at what Celtic have won and what Rangers have won over that 15-year period, that tells you that Celtic have dominated Scottish football and Rangers were not credible opponents.
I think Celtic sort of earned that though. I mean, Rangers got to a European final in that time. I don't think we can act like, you know, they were complete non-entities. They were in the sense that they didn't win any of the leagues, but that's because just Celtic were good during that time, though, surely.
Well,
like I say, Rangers got to a European final, so yeah, that's worth bearing in mind.
I think the case that Andy articulates is on a domestic level, and Celtic have had it all their own way for 15 years, really. But now, Rangers have what they haven't had for the last 15 years. They have stability in the boardroom. There's no infighting anymore. There's stability in the boardroom, and there's access to money via 49ers Enterprises, and Andrew Kavanagh has started to spend that money. And that's why I say, and I think Andy appreciates my point, the balance of power is shifting in Glasgow. The Celtic supporters maybe have not acknowledged it yet, but they had better have a look around them, because
we don't need to wait to see who wins the title before we know that. I couldn't contradict it either at the same right now. I'm not trying to, but would the sort of the underlining of that phrase not just come in who wins the league?
Well, if you're talking about the transfer window and the influence it will have over the winning of the league, Rangers are doing big business. Celtic are doing no business.
John is on the other line. Thank you to Andy. What's on your mind, John?
Good evening, panel. Gordon, Scott, Hugh.
Hello.
I was just saying to your man on the phone there, I says, I'm happy with what we're bringing in. Just now, it looks quite exciting, but we've got a lot of players on the books here that we just need to try and get out, which is hard in January. But like Kieran Bell and Joe Lothwell and Robbie Matondo, who have not played a lot of games for Rangers in a long time, we need to get some of these players out. I mean, we went down the road, they've gone to the Championship in England, and on paper, it's probably a better league than our league, but it's just not been working out the last couple of years, and we need to get rid of some of these players, because I'm excited what's coming in, but some of these players are on big wages. I've heard that Robbie Matondo's on for Rangers, a couple of goals here and there, but we need to get some of these players.
Well, that's why it's difficult to get rid of them, because they're on such big money, they're not going to volunteer to go elsewhere for considerably less money. But no one will be more aware of the need to offload players than Rangers themselves. So whatever they can do, they will do, with the constraints that they have, because they've been paying players too much money. But I think that will take care of itself, John. And you know, the Rangers fans are entitled to be excited by what's going on at the moment, and three new players in by tomorrow morning.
Is that why there is a bit of excitement amongst the fans, John, about the new signings? Because as we all acknowledge, you can never really tell what's going to work out and what's not. But you Rangers fans seem like you were fed up of that sort of English market. So when you see players coming in from, whether it's German football or Austrian football or whatever, it's almost like there's a bit more excitement around that. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, the boy for Stingratz, he's obviously got European experience. If Olsen comes in, he's got 40 caps for Denmark, so he's not a dud. The boy, the left back, I'm not sure. He's obviously going to be a couple of weeks before he's in, but under 21 for Belgium at one point, so we seem to be going down a different market now, a different road, because as I say, that other road isn't working, and another midfielder and maybe a centre-half. Striking-wise, unless one of our strikers leave, which would probably be Danilo, I doubt we'll get another striker in. Chimiti showed signs last couple of weeks. Then Majoski, before they kind of got injured, was showing signs. We've got other ones to come back, like Bayami, who's looking not bad and they get injured. So we've got players to come back as well. But if you'd have told me 2 months ago we were in a title race, I'd be like, I right. But just now, I'm not seeing anything, but I'm happier than I was a couple of months ago anyway.
Out of respect for what is one of the greatest cup competitions anywhere in world football, because we all still love it and it means a lot and everybody respects it and goes and tries to win it, I have to ask it, John, even although the odds would suggest not, is there any danger? Is there anything that worries you about this tie tonight, or just the Ibrox factor totally take all that away?
Well, two words, Queen's Park. I think last year, so you can't count your chickens. You can't get in this game and be Billy Big Boys. You've got to still go and produce a performance. There'll be probably a couple of players rested for the night. I'd imagine Liam Kelly are coming at goals. There'll be a couple of other players that have been on the fringes to come in, so don't underestimate your opponents. You've still got to get there and play, and you've still got to maybe get an early goal. But Annan will come there, they've got nothing to lose. It's 11-11. I'd imagine we'll still win, but you never know. I mean, there's been so many big shots in football over the years, and I wish Annan all the best tonight, and I hope it's a good game for them, for their travelling supporters that want to travel a bit. But I'd imagine we should win on paper, but we're playing in grass.
John's right. Queen's Park was one of the disasters. At the same time, Queen's Park were two divisions above what Annan are, so it would be in a different stratosphere to that as well.
Yeah, listen, I would be very surprised. I've seen Annan twice this season. Their best player is actually Willie Gibson for me, who's, I think, he's 41.
The manager?
Player manager, yeah. So listen, it's a real difficult task, but you know how football goes. If you can defend well enough for periods in the game and a chance presents itself, then yeah, you're in with a chance, but for me, I don't see anything other than a comfortable Rangers win tonight.
They are fourth in League Two, therefore they are the fourth worst team in Scotland. Give me peace.
What? No, that's not the way it works. Your maths is off.
It does for me.
No, the fourth worst would be the team fourth bottom. Are they fourth bottom?
Fourth bottom.
Ah, you said fourth. You had us confused there.
I beg your pardon. Fourth bottom in League Two. I repeat, give me peace.
John, enjoy.
I'm trying to think what that made.
Exactly. Enjoy your night, John. 01419511025. I can see one or two, and that's an understatement, Celtic fans trying to get through in the phone lines to discuss the transfer business or lack thereof. So why don't we dip into that next?
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. They are multitaskers. They're looking ahead to the Scottish Cup ties tonight, tomorrow and on Sunday. They're talking transfer window. They're keeping their eye on anything else that's still bubbling away after an interesting midweek in the Scottish Premiership and a title race that is very much alive. So do get your calls in, please, on 01419511025, and let's go through it all together. Andrew McLean is at Ibrox, so if there's anything you need to know from the stadium, you'll get that there as well. But let's go to Connor in Shettleston. Connor, how are you?
Yeah, all good. Yourself, Gordon?
Good
pals, your mate Derek, by the way.
Oh, I don't associate with him. If I can try my best to stay away from him, you should do the same. What's your thoughts tonight then, Connor?
Just wondering if you might have had a bit of a brain freeze by any chance, that Celtic haven't had a credible challenge in the last 15 years to Rangers.
By that you mean they won the league under Steven Gerrard?
But not, I mean, Hugh, they were also top twice come this time of the year. They've got a European final, as Gordon says. They've also spent plenty of money, as Gordon
Celtic
says.
Don't play Rangers in Europe. I said it. Credible opposition.
Sorry. Credible opposition. They were 6 points clear at this time of the year when Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was in. How is that not credible opposition, mate?
Because they didn't win the league.
Right, so it's not credible opposition because Celtic wrestled back the title from them. Is that? That's not credible opposition. It's only credible opposition if Rangers put up a fight right to the end. Nothing to do with the fact that we went on about a 25-game winning streak.
Nothing matters other than what it says on the league table on the final day of the season.
Yeah, but that means... that's still a credible challenge, though, is Connor's point.
Yeah.
Because by your logic, then, if it goes to the last day of the season... So if it goes to the last day of the season, the team who doesn't win it hasn't put up a credible challenge because they didn't win it.
Well, I'm giving you the fact that Rangers, over that period of time, have won 3 trophies. Now... Celtic have been the dominant team in the country. If Rangers have had a good season but did not win the league, okay. But for me, credible opposition means they take the league from you. And Steven Gerrard...
No, because it's opposition. You have to, like, as I said, I'll ask you again, if you go to the last day of the season but you don't win it, you've not provided a credible challenge.
Over the 15-year period, Rangers supporters would tell you that they haven't done enough.
Listen, everybody knows that, but I'll try a third time. If you take it to the last day of the season, but you don't win, I'm not.
You've been very condescending.
I'm not. If you're going to make a statement, you're allowed to be challenged on it.
Over 50 years.
You said it only matters what name is on the trophy at the end of the season. So I'm asking you, if you push a team all the way, but you don't win it, does that mean you've not provided a credible challenge?
Not enough of one, no.
That doesn't really make sense, because that way this season... Whoever falls short, so say Hearts can't quite get over the line, this won't have been a credible challenge by Hearts.
I'm not talking about Hearts, I'm talking about the balance of power in the city of Glasgow. That's the point I'm making.
But the logic would apply irrespective of what the team is. This is about what is and isn't a credible challenge. It doesn't matter what team name goes into that.
Well,
anyway,
referring to a Celtic Rangers situation and the city of Glasgow, if Hearts finish second, then of course... they have done extremely well. If they win the league, they have done superlatively well.
Connor, what else is on your mind?
Well, I would just say, just for the now, that Rangers are this sort of up-and-coming force. They have signed players. Celtic's transfer business is abysmal. You can go back to 2013, when Lennon first left about that. We can talk about it for the last 15 years, how bad the transfer business is. But at the end of the day, they're still above Rangers. Like, no matter how much you polish it, no matter how much Rangers will get better, no matter how much they're winning, we are still above Rangers just now. Now, will that be at the end of the season? Maybe not. And Celtic fans are not concerned about what's happening at the north side of the city. Celtic fans are concerned about what's happening at their own club. And that has been the case for the past, since Rodgers left the first time, basically. We know what we do wrong. We know we sign players far too late. We overpay for players. Look at Tenecki, look at Barakwisha. That's what's happened. So the fans know that. The fans aren't up in arms because Rangers are signing players. The fans are up in arms because what's happening with our own club. And that is the be-all, end-all. And Hugh, honestly, to saying it, so see if Celtic go down 1 point this season, right, and Rangers win the league, fair dues to them. It's not a credible challenge because we lost the league. You're tripping yourself up there. Gordon had you on toast there, basically, mate. And you never had an answer. You just started stumbling over your own words.
No. I have my
100%. You did.
I have my own view of how it looks, and the Celtic fans should be angry with their own club, but also aware of Rangers, because I repeat, there is stability in the boardroom, which you don't have at Celtic, because the fans tell you every week that there's not stability in the boardroom. Don't want them there, and there's also access to funds that Rangers did not have prior to the arrival of 49ers Enterprises.
It is kind of linked to Connor, isn't it? Because I know what you're saying. Celtic need to try and be the best version of themselves. That's kind of what the debate's been over the last 15 years. But if you take this position that you're in just now, in isolation, but if Rangers are way worse and they're 15 points behind you, your situation just doesn't hurt as much. That's just the reality of league football, isn't it? Because you're always compared to your rivals, whoever you are.
Gordon, of course, You're 100% right. I'm not arguing that fact. What I'm saying to you is, but this is like some sort of myth that Rangers haven't spent money before. See, when Michael Beale was in charge, did they not spend money in Lammers? Did they not spend money in Dessers? Did they not go out and it was going to be this swashbuckle football? Oh, this was a guy that was in charge of Gerrard. Gerrard wasn't doing that.
No, but Celtic were better then. You know, it's hard to ignore that, isn't it?
Aye, look, I know Celtic are a shambles, mate. I will not disagree that fact with you. I go to the games, home and away, mate. I know Celtic are a shambles now, right? But I'm not even, like, to saying it, Rangers haven't been a credible challenge for 15 years. It's just absolutely laughable, mate.
Even I am willing to let Hugh move on from that one, because I think we're getting a wee bit away from what's happening now and the transfers and all that sort of stuff. Whether they provided a credible challenge 10 years ago is good fun for me and Hugh to argue about. But Scott, really, right now, you can understand where Hugh's coming from, because if you've got Celtic, you have to compare title rivals to their title rivals. That's the whole point. That's what rivalry is all about.
Yeah, I think if you look at the games, the head-to-heads in isolation over the last few years, I think Rangers have performed much better than they did in previous seasons. So they've went to Celtic Park twice in the last two seasons and won, obviously most recently, and then the one before when Barry Ferguson was in charge. I think that would, these sort of performances won't be accepted by the Celtic fans, but I think Conor kind of hit the nail on the head in terms of where they're at with their own club. They've been saying the same thing since Kyogo left last January, and there's probably no surprise that they're in this position where Rangers have edged closer. Meanwhile, they put in a manager in Russell Martin who quite early on was seemed to be not good enough and wasn't, and they've obviously replaced him with Danny Rowe. Celtic's biggest failure this season for me out with the transfer window was appointing Wilfred Nancy, and he lost 6 games out of 8 in that period, and that's allowed Rangers to build momentum, win games and make it as close as it is at this moment in time. But Martin O'Neill's came in and steadied the ship again, but I just don't think they'll have enough in their squad if they don't add, and when I mean add players to the starting 11 who can really benefit the team and make them a better side week in, week out, then I think come the end of the season, I could see Celtic not being champions.
Eddie is on the other line. What do you make of it, Eddie?
Well, I think they should sign that Kieran Bowie and the boy from Motherwell, because the two players are there. We've got the money to buy them.
Which boy from Motherwell?
Elliot what?
Elliot, aye, him.
Well,
is it not a striker you were after?
Need Kieran Bowie, Bowie as well, didn't
he? But there's two boys there. Okay. Could do a ton for us. I mean, we're a laughing stock, aren't we? Because
well, if they wanted Kieran Bowie, they'd have done something about it by now. But whether the price is too high or there's another impediment, if Celtic wanted Kieran Bowie, they would surely have approached Hibs by this time. Likewise, Motherwell, for whichever boy it is you have in mind. But for some reason, recruitment has ceased to be part of Celtic's makeup. They don't have a recruitment department. They're asking Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney to take care of that as well as coach the team.
I'm making up figures here, Scott, but if Hibs, because Hibs would be entitled to hold out for even more if it was from a Scottish team, wouldn't they? That's sometimes the way it works. If Hibs were looking for $6 million, I think Celtic would pay that. Or should they pay it, sorry? Because I know we're all saying Celtic just need to go out, they need to do something, they need to do anything. That doesn't mean you go and spend $6 million on a player that you feel isn't worth that or isn't ready to go straight in or whatever. If you were Celtic, would you pay $6 million for Kieran Bowie? I appreciate I've made the figure up.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he's worth that already?
I don't know if he's worth that already, but I think in terms of what he brings to a team, I think he holds the ball up well, he's physical, he runs the channels, something that Celtic don't have at this moment in time. So do I think he's better than Adam Ida, who they played $9 million for, I'm sure? I think his potential would be better than Adam Ida, yeah. I think he's obviously a Scottish boy as well at the same time. Elliot Watt, I think he's been fantastic this year. You've seen a lot of him as well, Gordon, so you'll know. But is for you, you've obviously been a Motherwell fan, is that the same as, let's see, who else have they signed from?
It just feels like
from Motherwell.
I just think more from
years?
A Celtic perspective, I wouldn't have thought that would be their priority. It's not to say they don't, you can always add good players, but if you've got McGregor, Hatate, Ingles, Negrin, that kind of department is...
They probably need a different type of midfielder to any like what...
Celtic are desperate for a striker, like proper desperate, probably desperate for a right winger as well, maybe add a centre-back to that mix. They've got none of them in yet, so I just would be surprised if if an even an Elliot Watt profile was. But
last weekend, Martin O'Neill, after the Dundee United game, said Celtic would be in serious trouble. His words, serious trouble, if they didn't get reinforcements in. Now, a full week has gone by since then. If Celtic wanted Kieran Bowie, they'd have done something about it by now.
Yeah, unless they were trying other targets, and then you go to that, you never know. Maybe we'll get some late drama in the window. Let's go to Ibrox, because I think we've got some team news there with Andrew McLean. Thank you, Eddie.
Yeah, we expected changes from Danny Rule, and he's made no less than 9 of them coming into this match. So quite a few players that we haven't seen too much of this season will be getting a run out tonight, or certainly in recent months anyway. Toche Chukwuanyi is in the squad, one of the new signings, but his debut, if it comes tonight, will need to be off the bench. So the 9 that drop out of the team that beat Aberdeen last time out: Butland, Tavernier, Suter, Fernandez, Raskin, Diamande, Asgard, Moore and Chermiti. In come Kelly, Aarons, Giga, Insiala, Rothwell, Dowell, Danilo, Curtis and Miovski. So Liam Kelly in goal for Rangers tonight. The back four: Max Aarons, Nasser Giga, Clinton Insiala and Jaden Magoma. The two holding midfielders: Joe Rothwell and Kieran Dowell. It will be Jadon Gassama and Finlay Curtis out wide, with Danilo in behind Bojan Miovski up top. The substitutes: Wright, Suter, Chukwuanyi, Diamande, Asgard, Lawson, Moore, Matondo and Chermiti. I'll give you the Annan team a bit later.
Did you follow that? Can you rhyme off all those changes?
No.
Either of you?
But
Kelly,
it's a dramatic
I remembered that one.
Well, Miovski and Danilo are there, and Gassama. You know, it's a dramatic number of changes. And as soon as Andrew said the word 9, I thought, what? But it is still a far superior team to the one they're playing. And it may not be the greatest game of football ever witnessed, but there is zero chance of an upset.
I don't see Rangers losing that game tonight. I still think they've got too much in that squad, a lot of experience in there as well. Yes, they haven't been amazing for Rangers, but to look at that midfield two there, Adil and
Rothwell.
Rothwell, yeah, Adil and Rothwell with Danilo in front, you still would think they have enough to take him through a Scottish Cup game at home to Annan for me.
Give us your thoughts, whether it is tonight's game, tomorrow's game, Sunday's matches, the transfer window, you can choose. That is the beauty of it. So get in touch right now and we will do our very best to line you up next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans and Scott Allen are here. We just gave you the team news from Ibrox. Numerous changes, as you would expect, but still very recognisable players in the Rangers team. It's not like even one of those, Scott, where sometimes if this stage of the cup rolls around and you're at home against League Two opposition, there's not even really any scope for academy players to play in there. But maybe that's a shame, but again, it's a smaller point. But you know, it's the kind of the established players that can't get a game at the moment, if you like, the Joe Rothwell, Kieran Dowell, Bojan Miovski, that type of thing.
Yeah, but with Dowell and Rothwell, there'd be two who I think a lot of Rangers fans would be expecting to leave the club this window. So for me, if there is academy players there, I think if I was a Rangers fan going to the game, I'd much rather prefer to see one of them in there instead of two of them, especially when they're two players you would expect to be Rangers would be trying to move on.
Let's go back to transfers, because I know that's what lots of people are wanting to discuss. Martin O'Neill was asked today. It must be quite tough for him being the spokesperson. You do press conferences 3, 4, 5 times a week, depending on what your schedule is. And he's clearly finding it a bit annoying, but it is what it is. At least there was a name to be put to him today in Callum Wilson. Is that a goer? Here's what he had to say.
I hadn't thought about that. Not that he's not a very, very fine player. A very fine player. And I thought he was going elsewhere. You know. So, but we are in search of those elusive goal scorers, you know. And but we're not the only team as well. Is it becoming my favourite phrase? We are making progress. It's essential, absolutely essential. I think we know that anyway. But all next week, I'd like to have some people in for Hearts if it's at all possible.
Gary is on the line. What do you make of what's happening at the moment, Gary, and listening to that from Martin O'Neill?
I don't even know where to start, honestly. Like, it just, I'm a few. But like, it screams of desperation at this point. Like, especially, like, the way this season is going, and obviously the Celtic board can see that Hearts and Rangers it's a free horse race, and the fact that Hearts are like agreeing pre-contracts with players, bringing signings in, Rangers are signing players, and then there's Celtic who are just the same old story, like trying to find a striker, and it's very similar to when we signed Ian Iheanacho. Like we're looking at players who are past it down south, and there's just a chance that they're leaving their club, so Celtic, because the recruitment has been shocking. Just try and put a word in to see if it will come up here, because we have no one in mind who is actually going to walk straight into the Celtic team and make a difference. Because if we're talking about Callum Wilson, who again is injury prone, isn't a prolific goal scorer. He was when he was fit, but 8-9 years ago, now he's not. It's going to be another Iheanacho, and we'll be talking about this probably at the end of the season, because the way it's going just now, Celtic will finish third.
Gary, the fact that Martin Ayoub, as you heard him there, saying he hopes to have people in by the time they play Hearts a week on Sunday. Hopes to have people in. Celtic have no recruitment department. It's Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham and Martin simply getting around their contacts and seeing what's what.
There will still be like analysis and recruitment staff beneath that, but I know what you mean in terms of the structures different, because Paul Tisdale's not there. But I don't think it's not like it's just those three.
I think Martin is the perfect front man, because he can keep things ticking along and people don't get upset because he's Martin O'Neill. But Gary knows the truth of the matter, and the squad is unsatisfactory. The performance against Falkirk in midweek was appalling. They're going to the Hearts game, which will be the pivotal moment in the season for Celtic, because if Hearts win, they go 9 points ahead of Celtic. If Celtic win, the gap is 3. So it's the pivotal game of the season for Celtic, and Martin O'Neill says that he hopes to have players in by the 25th day of January.
Martin, you know, Gary Scott is saying, I mean, we're talking about Callum Wilson here. To be fair, Martin O'Neill's saying we're not talking about Callum Wilson, if that makes sense. Yep. In the fact that Celtic aren't trying to sign him, or he thought he was going elsewhere, which is fine. But if it's not Callum Wilson, who is it? You know, signings can come out the blue, but it just doesn't feel like that happens very much anymore. Look at Rangers with Andreas Skovolsen. Usually now it'll bubble away for quite a bit. Even Celtic with Balakwisha, which hasn't worked, but I'm talking about the kind of news cycle now. You do hear about it, you hear there's a few days build up, then that player arrives. It feels like the Celtic fans would probably settle for a good striker rumour at the moment, never mind an actual signing through the door.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. I think Callum Wilson has been the one being floated about for a few weeks, and then when Martin O'Neill finally gets asked, he thinks he's going to another club. For me, and I know Gary says he wasn't too excited about the prospect of getting a Callum Wilson, but I do think he would add a quality to that Celtic attack if he was to come in. But
again, it's compared to nothing.
I know
at the moment,
and
as well.
And that's my point. I think the biggest surprise for me is there's no way the Celtic board can bring Martin O'Neill back for a second time this season and let him go into the huge running in a free horse race now with Celtic, Hibs and Rangers. They cannot allow him to go into that part of the season without backing him in the transfer
window. But presumably none of this is deliberate. None of this is by design. I have no doubt people are trying. I have no doubt people are working hard, whatever that means. Ineffective at it so far.
Well, you take the last three transfer windows, everyone cites the example of Kyogo, who left a calendar year ago. Celtic have had nothing but awful transfer windows. Whatever and whoever is responsible for the recruitment of players, it's not working, not happening.
And is that why your sort of trust and confidence isn't quite there, Gary? Because there might have been a time where we would have got calls, I think, people pointing out, this is the 16th of January, calm down, there's 2 weeks left, we'll get players in by the end of the window. I don't hear those calls anymore. Is that because there's no confidence there?
I'd say yes, Gordon, but see, the thing is, previously, Celtic have, obviously, we've been in front, so we've not had a challenge in previous windows. So we've had the luxury of being able to sign players late on the window. It's the complete opposite in this window. Celtic, we need to be proactive, whereas we're so reactive. And I can't, see if it comes to the strikers, and I kind of agree with Scott. Callum Wilson probably would come in and add a bit of quality, but out of all the strikers, I would say that Celtic have been linked with this window, if I were to pay money for anyone, it would be Bowie from Hibs, because at least he's young, he's got prospect, and he knows the league, compared to like a Callum Wilson who doesn't, and he's not been playing for the last 2 years. At least if Bowie came in, he's only going to get better playing with better players. But I would not be surprised if we honestly didn't sign anyone.
Hugh, actually put this one to Scott first in terms of what this week is going to look like, because Martin O'Neill saying they want people in before Hearts, and Tony Watt and Gordon Dale last night were talking about you kind of really need to do that at the start of the week. If you know, if somebody's got any chance really of featuring in a meaningful way against Hearts, you want it done at the start of the week. Celtic play Bologna away next midweek as well, so they're going to travel on Wednesday, the game on Thursday, travel back. You just wonder what the time frame is going to look like, and depending who this player is, because if we do even give a bit of sympathy about these old sayings that January's a tough window and all that, you might get somebody that hasn't played. You might get somebody that comes from a league that their season finished in November, or they're out of favour and that's why you're getting them. Fair play to Julian Araujo, by the way, because he'd only played once, and at least fitness wise he seems fine, he seems up to speed, but not everyone's like that.
Not everyone is, no, and it's the week you speak about there, so obviously the Talbot, they play on Sunday, followed by Bologna and Hearts. A lot of moving parts in that week to regards to getting transfers in, all the paperwork, and then getting them to do a proper training session with the squad, because there's three games in that week. So for me, it's essential that they don't sign someone who's not match fit. Celtic have to pay money for someone in a league who's scoring goals, but in a market where Celtic can be, come in, give them a good deal, and had a good transfer for the club, and they might need to pay over the odds again, but I don't think Celtic are in a position where they can't. I honestly don't.
See, to be fair, Hugh, as well, worth bearing in mind, and I know this, I don't mean to ruin the Celtic fans' weekends, but when Martin O'Neill said he hopes to have something in, or he certainly sounded confident, that wasn't necessarily a striker, I don't think. I think he just meant a player. Someone. So, I mean, if it's not to be, everyone's assuming a striker will be first.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I assume that Martin O'Neill believes that to be the case. You can see that situation worsening by the day. But as you correctly point out, when Sean Maloney, Mark Fotheringham and Martin O'Neill board the plane, they will focus entirely on Bologna and the Europa League, and 3 days will be lost. And when they come back, you're not going to come back on the Friday, have the player, whoever he may be, signed by the Saturday and playing on the Sunday. They've got themselves into that Karat Almaty situation where you think, well, surely the closer this gets, they'll do something. It's not happening. It's Karat Almaty all over again.
Thank you, Gary. It's time for us to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on, Beat the Pundit time. A nice way to round off the week. I thought we had him last night, Gordon Dalziel, but he won it on a tiebreaker. Let's see if we can get a victory for you this evening on 0141 951 1025, and the Lions close at 7.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are in the building for about another hour. There is a game tonight, I know it's easy to forget in the midst of the transfer window madness, but Rangers are at home to Annan. It's a much changed team. You may, Rangers fans, see Tochi Chukwuanyi at some point for his debut. He won't see Tor Romans, he is injured. And will Rangers announce something for Andrey Skov-Olsen? Because we certainly expected that to be done by now. Andrew McLean is at Ibrox. He'll keep an eagle eye out for any sightings and let us know. As is always the case, there is a Groundhog Day feel to Celtic's transfer discussions at the moment, but that's what we're here for during the January window. Keep your thoughts coming in, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I'm reliably informed if the Pundits win tonight and then again on Sunday, it would be your 100th win of the season. If anybody cares.
Right.
You look really buzzing about that, both of you. I'm sure that's what you've got in your mind. You can facilitate it for one of your colleagues to see it over the line on Sunday. But no offence, as you know, I'm always on the side of the listeners.
So this is win 99 if it
would,
comes.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. Let's see what we've got out there on the phones to try and stop that run. It is Douglas from Kilmarnock. How's it going, Douglas? Douglas, can you hear us? Oh, that's not good, is it? That's not a good start. The phone signal's a wee bit dodgy in Kilmarnock.
Where is Kilmarnock?
Next to Castle.
If I'm driving down to Hampden, that's the way I would go. Try to figure out if the phone signal goes. He's away, yes. I think he's either his bottle's crashed or his phone signal's crashed. One of the two.
Oh, you think as if he's in the car because it's a bad signal down that side, doesn't it?
It could be. Yeah, you think he's back, hopefully. Douglas, oh no, he's up. They're really teasing me out there. They're messing with me. He's lighting up then, he's not. Douglas, can you hear us?
Can hear you.
Yes, Douglas, how's it going?
It's not bad, how yourselves?
Not bad. Have you ever played this before, Douglas?
It's my first time.
Right. What makes people decide after all these hundreds and thousands of shows to give it a bash?
Well, I've listened to Hugh Keevans for years, so I thought it's time to beat him.
See, I think that to me, Hugh, seems as good a logic as any. You did win your last game 5-3, but
yeah, well,
19th of December, nearly a month since you've been in action.
Without last night.
Oh no. No, but hold on. Last time,
yeah,
when you were sponsored by red wine, did it not like enhance your performance?
Well, you never know, but I was out to the St Andrews Sporting Club in the company of Graham Souness and Bruni. I told Bruni he'd heard the story of
your £1,000 bid to go and see him.
So he, let me tell you, it was great company, as was Graham Souness. It was terrific.
Did you get a date in the diary for you and Bruni?
I told him about Partick Thistle, and he started to say a lot of derogatory things about Mark Wilson. But it's still in my mind, Air United, Partick Thistle.
Who was your star turn at the boxing last night? You usually have a guest of honour. Was it Souness? No?
No, it was Steve Collins, two-time world champion, who finished our question and answer session by singing, "I'm the King of the Swingers" from Jungle Book. Beat that.
Well, we can beat it. If you win tonight, you need... No, let's make it a forfeit. If you lose to Douglas, you need to sing "I'm the King of the Swingers." Oh, there we go. There's you and Graham Souness on the screen.
Oh, tremendous.
By the way, you're looking sharp, Shug.
New glasses?
Yeah, that's my other glasses.
Hold on a minute. Have you got going out specs?
Yeah.
So we get your everyday specs, but Souness gets your going out specs?
Correct.
I'm offended.
You got it now.
How old is Graham Souness?
Sue must be about 70 now, 71 maybe.
Yeah, he is in his 70s.
Brilliant. But looking absolutely brilliant, and he spoke beautifully, and a terrific night.
Tartan tie, okay, yeah. Don't mind the three piece. I can't believe he's got going out specs, but we don't get to see them.
I'll wear them tomorrow then.
They're new though, they're new, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They're shiny. honestly. Well, Hugh Keevans and his everyday glasses are here. Scott Allen's alongside him. One of them will take on Douglas in Kilmarnock. If it's the blue side of the coin, it is Hugh, blue for Hugh, red side Scott Allen. I love a Friday. I love being free of Gordon DL and whatever his wild theories are about the coin. We can get on with it and see who's going to play. And it's Blue Hugh and his everyday specs up against Douglas from Kilmarnock. Let's see how hungover he is, Douglas. You have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Sounds good.
Good man, Douglas. Your 30 seconds is going on the clock and the time starts now. Which English side did Neil Lennon manage after his first Celtic spell?
Bolton.
Dujon Sterling signed for Rangers under which manager?
Keogh.
Name any current Aberdeen player who's been capped for Scotland?
Pass.
How many times have Motherwell won the Scottish Cup?
Twice.
Which SPFL side play at the home of the Setfair Arena?
Pass.
Which Scottish player has the most English Premier League appearances this season?
Interested.
Okay. Can we get you back, Hugh Keevans?
Yep.
You that too. Was Beach Club vibes. I thought you'd liked that.
No, a bit loud for that.
You're bobbing along.
Nice.
He liked it, but it was terrible.
You will have been Mr. Beach Club in your pomp, I'm sure. I don't know if I can imagine the Shugster coming along with you.
Beach Club wasn't a thing when he was.
Too right, it wasn't coming through. Entirely
but
different
if you
think
of it, love it.
What, Troon Beach Club? That was as far as he got on his summer holidays. Right, you ready, Hugh?
I am.
30 seconds, answer as many as you can. Your time starts now. Which English team did Neil Lennon manage after his first Celtic spell?
Nottingham Forest.
Dujon Sterling signed for Rangers under which manager?
Gerard.
Name any current Aberdeen player who's been capped for Scotland.
Devlin.
How many times have Motherwell won the Scottish Cup?
Three.
Which SPFL side play at the home of the Setfair Arena?
Gone. Home of the Setfair Arena. Who's that? Three. Lenny?
Yep.
Are you confirming answers? Someone giving him a promotion over the last week that I don't know about. At least he did say it just in time. I was about to pull the plug on him as well.
But I know,
you always get
so
a bit, you get a bit of time once I've asked the question. I would do that to anyone. Douglas, you've heard the competition. How hungover was he?
Don't know. I think it might be tight, but they were tough.
Let's go through them. I feared for you after that first question. That to me went, you didn't even need to tell me you were on the red last night when I heard you fail to remember that Neil Lennon managed Bolton.
Oh, Bolton.
Come on, shug. I knew you were in trouble. Douglas got it 1-0. Dujon Sterling, you said Gio, didn't you, Douglas?
Yep.
See, Doug, good honesty from his line broke up, but I'm pretty sure it was Gio, which he's just admitted. Unfortunately for you, Douglas, it was Michael Beale.
Oh,
none of you got it right.
My dad did that in the background.
See, always listen to your old man. What's your dad's name?
He's Gordon.
Good. I was going to say Douglas, that's your name. Good knowledge from Gordon back in the background. Name any current Aberdeen player who's been capped for Scotland. Douglas, you made a meal of this. You almost made a meal of this. Stuart Armstrong, 51 caps. Kevin Nisbet, 11. Graham Shinney, 6. Nicky Devlin's got 2.
Yeah.
He went for the least capped one, but at least you got it, and it was an equaliser for you. Motherwell have won the Scottish Cup famously in 1991, and not so well remembered in 1952. But that's it. Douglas got it. It's twice.
Oh.
He goes in front. The SPFL team who play at the home of the Setfair Arena. You are lucky, boy.
Oh,
you dug it out. As Scott Allen confirmed to you, it is Livingston. However, Douglas had one more question, a chance to win it. Which Scottish player has the most English Premier League appearances this season? You went for Ryan Christie, Douglas.
Yep.
I thought one of you would maybe have said Andy Robertson. The answer is John McGinn.
Oh.
21 appearances for Aston Villa. He pretty much always features. So that means for the second night in succession, off to the tiebreaker.
Right.
Douglas, it's quite simple. I'll ask the question. I will get Hugh to write his answer down and then ask for your attempt, okay?
Sure.
Oh my goodness, this question. Who comes up with this? Which one of you producers has this much time in your hands?
That's Jay.
When added together, what is the total of all the shirt numbers of the Scotland players who featured against Denmark at the end of November?
That's the most ridiculous question
I wholeheartedly
ever.
Agree.
What takes you to that sort of question?
Dark thoughts.
Yes.
When added together, what's the total of all the shirt numbers of the Scotland players who played against Denmark in November? Hugh, I mean, I just write something down for me, please, quickly, if you can. And what are you going for, Douglas?
I'll go 141.
Okay, Hugh's gone 98. Douglas has gone 141. One of you is only 12 off. And I can tell you, the answer is 153. Well done, Douglas.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Like, literally unbelievable that anyone... I would not know where to start with that. Douglas, are you choosing the sign ball or the coin?
I'll choose the sign ball.
There we go. He's a man of taste. I'm not sure which producer it is. I think actually maybe Chris has sent me a message to say, buzzing for this. Spent about 30 minutes on it. That says more about you than it does about us. Douglas, who's your team?
Rangers.
Are you feeling pretty optimistic at the moment, or what's the general mood?
Yeah, optimistic. Rose come in. He's simplified everything. It's good. It's good football. That's what we want.
And signings, I suppose, that must at least please you that they're in the door. We'll soon find out if they're any good, but nice to have some business done.
Definitely a bit of depth, and if we get Scovelson over the line, that'd be magic. So wait and see if that's confirmed soon.
I think, Scott, I think clearly, even just the areas these players play in were priority areas.
Yeah.
You know, kind of almost filled in that order, if you like. So Rangers needed a midfielder, and especially now Conor Barron's injured. They've got one. They certainly needed a left back, because Magoma's been having to do it all himself unless Aaron's plays or something shuffled around. And the other one, the next in line, would probably be a right winger, and we assume Skovolsen will be announced imminently. So it feels like quite a clear plan there.
Yeah, I think it's evident watching Rangers. I think especially that left back position. I've seen an article of Robbie Nielsen speaking about him. He'd seen him in Belgium, and he said he was really steady, aggressive. I think that's what Rangers need. It doesn't have to be any outstanding sort of attributes other than wants to defend properly and uses the ball well and has a bit of physical presence. Looking at the midfield, it was the same for me, bringing someone in who can be an enforcer in there. I think he would definitely add that to the team, a bit of physicality as well. And listen, Scove Olsen is one who, obviously, you speak about the caps and the teams he has played for, he looks like he'll have real quality and can come into this Rangers team and really add to that sort of creativity in the final third, because I do feel that was a position they were needed. So Rangers are on the ball. I wouldn't be surprised if they do make a few more signings as well as the month goes on.
Hugh, we'll never know, but it'd be interesting if Russell Martin's form had never picked up. So maybe, let's say Danny Rowe came in and didn't really make an impact. Like, it improved a bit, but they were still miles out the title race. You wonder if Rangers would have bothered as much, but now you've got that incentive. You're very much in it. Everybody keeps telling you, all whoever wins the transfer battle might end up going on to win the league. I'm not saying they would have done nothing in the window, because there would have been an air of desperation, but you know what I mean, that incentive there, that if you can get the signings right, you might actually win something rather than just rescue a disastrous start to the season.
Yeah, I think everything about Rangers at the moment is about coherent thinking. That they've got a manager there by accident, because he was on the shortlist and he withdrew his own name, then he came back on because two others didn't want the job. But there's coherent thinking in the dressing room and in the boardroom, and the transfers are starting to build up now. As Scott said, Scove Olsen might not be the end of it all. Rangers still have plenty of time to add to that before the window closes. Meanwhile, Celtic are saying, Martin O'Neill is saying, he hopes to have someone in by the time they play Hearts a week on Sunday in the pivotal match of the season for Celtic. So that's the way it is. If the transfer window thus far is going to determine who wins the league, then it's a toss-up between Hearts and Rangers, but it doesn't involve Celtic.
Similarly, Scott, for Danny Rule, the priority is to win football games, get points on the board. But as a side note, he was almost trying to win the trust of the Rangers board and the Rangers fans from when he came in to now. Can you do enough to show that people trust you to go and spend the millions? Sort of thing, you know, like what, kind of like what we said about Wilfried Nancy, and a watered down. Within weeks, people said he can't be the guy that takes you into the transfer window, but the Rangers fans are content with what they've seen from Danny Rule, so they now want to see what he's capable of with his own players in.
Yeah, and I think he's deserved that. When you look at the amount of points Rangers have picked up since he's come in, he's certainly deserving of that. I think from the fans, that trust to go and get players in. I think he's admitted at times, yes, it's not the football, and it's maybe not as entertaining as some people would maybe like it, but they're winning games. That buys you time, that buys you trust, as we've seen, and they've went about their business well so far in January when they all going to plan, and the players coming in and having the impact that many Rangers fans think that they'll have in this team.
Who's going to win the league, Douglas? Does your confidence and your good mood extend as far as predicting a Rangers victory at this stage?
I'm just thankful to be in the position to say it just now, but hopefully we can, because a few weeks ago there was no chance. So Rangers.
And no shock on the cards tonight, need I ask?
No. Last year I said there would have been no shock, but things are a bit different now, so I don't think there'll be a shock tonight.
Yeah, we'll see. Thank you very much to Douglas and Kilmarnock. A victory on Beat the Pundit as well. Why don't we hear from Danny Rule? These are his latest thoughts ahead of this one tonight.
You saw this in the last couple of days. So yesterday, Real Madrid out of the cup. Crystal Palace out of the cup, you never know. You have to be very focused on this game as well. But I make sure we will rotate some positions. This is normal, because some players deserved also to get a chance. And I'm convinced even the players that come now in, they are ready for this game. But a cup is a cup game. Every opponent can defend and play with heart and passion.
It's always good when there's a recent example, because Martin O'Neill had it put to him as well today. We never know Auchinleck, because Macclesfield did it to Crystal Palace. You have to. That's what cup football is, Hugh. Well, I'm not disagreeing with you two that Rangers will probably win the game, but you have to just leave the door ajar to the possibility.
Well, a club as big as Aberdeen went out to Darvel in the not too
distant past.
If Wilfred Nancy had still been in charge of Celtic, there would have been concern over the Auchinleck-Talbot game, but not with Martin O'Neill. And I think with Danny Rowe, although he has made 9 changes, I do combat the fact that you've still got Majovski, Danilo, Gassama. You've still got good players there who will be far too much for the fourth worst team in the SPFL.
Yeah, I'm the same. I look at the Rangers team and I know, listen, for me, I would probably play other options than Dowell and Rothwell, but they are English Championship experienced players. Big Park at Ibrox against a part-time side. They're not very consistent in terms of the domestic league, and so for me, Rangers will just have too much for them.
0141 951 1025, give us a call, we'll speak to you next. 0141 951 1025.
This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
20 minutes until kick-off in the first of the Scottish Cup ties this weekend. Rangers hosting Annan Athletic. No new signings in from the start. One on the bench, Chukwuane, but maybe a sighting of Andreas Skov-Olsen to be had, because we certainly expected it to be announced by now. So maybe they'll just tie it in with their match coverage there at Ibrox. Who knows? We'll wait and see. Keep your calls coming in the build-up to that one. Talking about transfers, of course. And what else is exciting you this weekend? Because there are loads of brilliant fixtures everywhere you look. The potential for upsets. Those annoying ties. How annoying is it if you're a Premiership team and you draw another Premiership team at this stage of the competition? Everything about it gives you less chance of going through. Fans hate it. It's repetitive. You've got a bit of variety, don't you?
I still think it would be a good watch. Hearts versus Falkirk, for example.
Oh no, but see, if you're a Livy or a St Mirren fan, you're thinking, come on, the Premiership's been a struggle enough. Could we not just have had Montrose away or something, get a wee day out?
Bit harsh on
Montrose. Work up the draw.
No. Anyway, let's do the teaser whilst we line up some more calls. Let's see what we've got for you on there tonight. It was Tyler who sent it in, and we appreciate Tyler's question. fulltime@clyde1.com, as always, is the email to send your questions in. So Tyler come up with this one. It's a good one. I do think you'll make semi-light work of it though. Can you name 8 non-Scottish players to score 4 Rangers in a final since 1999? Scottish Cup final, sorry. 8 non-Scottish players to score for Rangers in a Scottish Cup final since 1999.
Lovenkrantz.
Yes, that famous double in. Can you remember the year?
2001.
Next year.
2002.
Yeah, against Celtic.
Amoruso.
Yes, 1-0 against, was that Jim Duffy's Dundee?
Yep,
in 2003.
Yeah, that. Nacho
against
Nacional against. Have you named the team as well?
No, I'm just curious. Show your working, please.
Somebody like Queen of the South?
Nope. The year after, Falkirk. It was the only goal of the game, a 1-0. Right, you can leave it there, because that's quite good progress. That's 3 of 8. Tyler has sent it in tonight, asking you to name 8 non-Scottish players to score for Rangers in a Scottish Cup final since 99. Nacho Novo, Lorenzo Amoruso, and Peter Lovenkrantz. So we don't need any more for now, but you can get your thinking caps on. And by the way, if you're out there listening and you think you have got a comprehensive list, feel free to send me them in and I will try and give you a mention that you deserve. If we're talking romance of the cup, and everything's really become about Celtic's transfers, which is a bit of a shame, and just in the sense it takes the focus away. Yeah. What an occasion for Auchinleck Talbot, Hugh. I know it's at Rugby Park and all that stuff, but cliche time, this is what the Scottish Cup is kind of all about.
Well, you know, if you're asking for stories, there would be no bigger story anywhere than if Celtic lost to Auchinleck Talbot. It would be the worst result ever in Celtic's history. But I'm going to say what I said about the Rangers game. Give me peace. This is the defending champions of the Premiership against a junior team. And that Martin O'Neill couldn't possibly contemplate having that associated with his name. So Celtic will not enjoy the day out, because 5:30 on a Sunday, who needs it on an artificial pitch? But Celtic will win the game, and the Auchinleck players will have all the fun of the fair trying to get Callum McGregor's jersey or something.
It's all the stuff that goes along with it, Scott. It feels like when you get these ties, people then go on a search to see which member of the teams get the most obscure day job that they have to balance with playing football. I was down doing a thing for Sky with the manager, Tommy Sloan, driving a forklift on a house in estate, a new, you know, a new build house in estate down in Ayrshire the other day. You know, he's sitting in the forklift, driving it around, jumping out to give us an interview about, you know, trying to prepare his team for the game. It's just, it's brilliant. That's what it's all about.
It is, especially for the Auchinleck Talbot players and coaching staff. Listen, Celtic obviously massive favourites. Phil expects Celtic to win the game comfortably, but at some moment, for the players and coaches at Auchinleck Talbot, they'll always remember it for the rest of their lives. A lot of them will be Celtic fans, a lot of them will be Rangers fans, so they'll have different sort of mindset going into the game. But as Hugh says, we'll look for strips after the game. But what an occasion for them, and they deserved it obviously after their victory in the last round. But this is what it's all about. If it was at Auchinleck Talbot's home ground and Wilfred Nancy was in charge, it might have been a different prospect, but can't see anything other than a comfortable Celtic win.
Even at that, I think Hearts went down a couple of seasons ago, didn't they? They scored 5-year-old pal Andy scored,
Andy
I'm sure.
That day, yeah.
And Tommy Sloan actually admitted the other day that even compared to that team, they're not quite as experienced now as they were then. So there's no point in wasting loads of time banging on about how big the golf is. I think everybody knows it.
It's a funny thing with Celtic having. Can Celtic ever have had a sequence of games where they played a junior team followed by a Serie A team? Martin O'Neill, I don't think he'll do a Danny Roll and make 9 changes. You'll need to be careful. But he'll be mindful of the game against Bologna next Thursday. But at the same time, I repeat, he could not begin to contemplate having that kind of disaster associated with his name.
I'm just a bit worried that Stephen Welsh plays and then he'll go back to Motherwell at the end of the window, but it'll be cup tied for the cup final.
Yeah,
when Motherwell get there, no, we'll be able to
play.
I see
he wasn't the squad the other night obviously for that free team rule, so Stephen Welsh will be one you'd expect to go back out on loan or maybe permanent at the end of this window. Might be Motherwell, might not be Motherwell. Gordon, but what I can see is he has been fantastic this season.
Now let's bring in John, who's a Celtic fan on the line. How are you, John?
Hi there, I'm fine, yourself?
Good, thanks for asking. What have you got for us tonight?
I'm just thinking, right, so Martin O'Neill signs a player, and what happens when a new manager comes in? They maybe not go on with him, you know? I was just wondering your thoughts on that.
I think that's why loan deals might be quite likely this window, John.
Sorry?
Is that maybe why loan deals might be quite useful?
I was thinking about the loan deals, I think, but it's going to be more harder, isn't it, to get a loan deal, because everybody will be or the other clubs.
I think, John, that Celtic have an obligation to Martin O'Neill in this matter. They brought Martin O'Neill in the first time and then made the mistake of not keeping him for a cup final, which they lost. Martin O'Neill, I don't think, would have lost the Premier Sports Cup final to St Mirren. Now they are obliged to help Martin O'Neill in his second shot at being interim manager, because Martin O'Neill is trying to win Celtic the title, trying to retain the title for Celtic. So whether it's loan deals, money or whatever, they are obliged to do everything they can for Martin O'Neill, and so far that's been nothing.
I take John's point, Scott, that it's not ideal. But at the same time, you can still get players, can't you?
Yeah.
Like I said, whether it is loan or even not, did I see, not the same scenario, did I see Oliver Glasner's leaving?
Yeah,
Palace and
You know, so what? Whoever signs for them in January won't be playing for him. Managers leave, managers come and go, so
yeah,
the modern player will know all that, won't they?
Yeah, listen, I think it's irrelevant in terms of looking at next season's manager, because Celtic need a striker. It's not a water and if it's they need a striker.
But John's asking, would a player maybe be put off as well the other way around by saying I don't know who I'll be playing for next season, so I'm not signing a 4-year deal?
Depending on the type of player you're looking at, I think if you're the market that Celtic would be in, you'd imagine Celtic would be the bigger club in the negotiations, and the chance to come and play for a club like Celtic is a huge pool. It always will be for a lot of players, especially Scottish players. We speak about Kieran Bowie and a few others. So for me, I think Celtic have to get it done, and I think they'll have to throw money at it. I do think that, and I know there's been lots of conversation about overpaying for players, but the way it's going, I think they're going to have to do the same again, and they can't afford to get it wrong.
I mean, John, I said earlier it's almost becoming a challenge now to find Celtic fans out there who still are a bit relaxed, who still think this will be fine by the end of the window. any part of that for you, or are you very much in the worried camp?
I'm just frightened. Anybody will like Martin O'Neill, you know, players coming in. But next year, a new manager. And they might be no light, they might be no going. And who wants to sign for Celtic for 3 years if you don't know who the manager's going to be next year?
Well, I think Scott's just said he still thinks that's possible. Let's go to Ibrox, because the game's not kicking off for another 10 minutes. But you've got a bit of action, Andrew McLean.
Yeah, the starting lineups are just being read out at the moment. The Annan Athletic team was first, and a bit of interest there as well. First of all, Willie Gibson, many people will know that name over years of Scottish football. He's now the player manager of Annan, 41 years of age. He's in the starting lineup tonight, but no surprise there really, because he is playing week in, week out for Annan. He's got a goal and an assist in his last couple of games, the former Queen of the South and Dunfermline man, so he'll be hoping that he can show what he can do and that he's still got it at the age of 41. They've also got some other players as well, the likes of former Dundee United defender Keith Watson is in the starting lineup, and former Dundee midfielder Paul McGowan could come off the bench as well. I think there are about to be a couple of new signings potentially paraded to the Ibrox crowd. There are indeed, and first of all it will be Tochi Chukwuanyi making his way out of the tunnel at the moment, because he is of course on the bench tonight, the 22-year-old Danish midfielder, and he's getting the applause of the crowd as he comes out and claps back to the Rangers supporters that have made their way out here. He's a holding midfielder, can also play a bit more advanced as well, and you'd expect, all going well, he'll be on the bench tonight. He's followed by Tuur Romans. Danny Rule has been crying out really for competition at left back. Jeff Day and Ridvan Yilmaz sold in the summer, a lot of responsibility put on his shoulders, of Jaden Magoma I should say, but the big one is Andreas Skov Olsen, who has just made his way out the tunnel, I think yet to be announced on social media by Rangers, but this is the first sight that the Rangers supporters will get of him. 40 caps for Denmark, the winger, plenty of goals and assists in his time at Club Bruges. That earned him a £12 million move to Wolfsburg a year ago. It hasn't quite worked out there, but I'm not sure that will worry Rangers fans too much after seeing what Václav Černý did last season. He came on loan from Wolfsburg, got 17 goals. If Skov Olsen can have that type of impact, he could well play a big part in a potential title-winning side for Rangers this season. So the three men out in the pitch, Tochi Chukwuanyi, Tuur Romans and Andreas Skov Olsen. The Rangers supporters in the stadium getting the first look at the man who has signed on loan from Wolfsburg until the end of the season and could well sign on a permanent deal for around £9 million if Rangers take up that option to buy in a few months' time.
I like that, something a bit different nowadays. Yeah. Clubs announce it formally, it goes out, there's the tweet goes out and you announce the signing. Rangers have decided to bring Andreas Skov Olsen out onto the pitch and announce it the old-fashioned way, Hugh Keegan.
Yeah, carefully choreographed for maximum effect, maximum impact. And I repeat, this shows that Rangers in this window are intent on building a side that can pip hearts for the title.
I thought Chukwuanyi could have given us a wee smile, Scott. Just he's obviously thinking, oh, January in Scotland, they'll get Annan, it'll get more glamorous.
It's not as comfortable as it looks. That
I suppose. Yeah,
they look like three big units, don't they?
Being the centre of attention.
Like that old phrase, they look like footballers.
But it's interesting because in CV terms, Skov Olsen's the biggest signing.
Yeah,
you know, he's not a permanent deal, but that's probably why, because you heard Andrew giving his credentials. He got 40 Denmark caps, moved for millions and millions just last year. So it has to be a loan essentially sometimes first to get that level of player, and Rangers confirming it tonight that he is now one of theirs for the foreseeable.
Yeah, listen, as you say, you speak of that pedigree he's got, I think it's a great signing. I think you look at the last couple of years of Černý before Sima, they both came in and had massive impacts. So he'll be looking to do the same. And you look at the two others, obviously Romans coming in, left back as a position that Rangers, for me, I think you'd expect him to come into the team. I think he would be better than Magoma. And Chukwuanyi, for me, you can see that physical presence he has. He could be a real top signing for Rangers.
Rangers fans will want to see him tonight, Hugh. You always want to see them at the earliest convenience, and again, always doing that thing where you're not being disrespectful. A home game against Annan might be just quite a nice occasion to go and just get some minutes. And
again, you choreograph the whole situation. You wait until you're definitely in the draw for the next round, and bring them on when there's no prospect of anything other than a victory. So that's what I would expect to happen. Give him a 15, 20 minute cameo.
Or maybe even longer. Scott, do you expect to see him for a fair chunk tonight?
I think you'd expect to see him come on the pitch tonight. Listen, as you say, Gordon, I think it's a perfect game. Obviously, a home game, expecting no slip-ups at home to Annan in the Cup. Rangers a few goals up, you'd expect to see him get the minutes in under the belt as a new signing coming in, and one that I'm assuming Danny Rowe would want to make him into the team as soon as possible. So perfect environment for him tonight.
Yeah, go on then, leave us with a score prediction, you two.
4-0 for me.
I'm going to go half. Took it right off my toes there, Hugh. I'm going to go 5-0.
As much as that. Right, okay. Right, it's that time on a Friday night. I've been looking forward to this every Friday for what feels like about 5 years, but it's just been a couple of months and it's dragging on, and we need to bring it to a conclusion. So let's play this.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
The Pundit Predictor is back for 2026. We started this on the 22nd of August, to be precise. All you had to do, I'm removing that word because it's clearly proven to be more than a simple task. What you had to do was guess the outcome of three Scottish football fixtures correctly. That's it. That was it. That was all you had to do. So let's roll on. We've rolled it on week after week after week, and now it's up to £1,800 if you get them all correct. We've picked three games. All you have to do is tell us the outcome of the three matches. It's 0141 951 1025. You have until the end of this break to get your calls in. We'll pick someone at random. It is over 18. It's only three games to predict. Livingston against St Mirren, Hearts against Falkirk, and I've thrown a wee trickier one in there as well, Stenhouse Muir against Morton. That's your three. So get in touch before the end of the break, and hopefully we'll speak to you next.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies, delivered on time for over 40 years.
Yes, the Pundit Predictor is very much back thanks to our friends at McNair's Building Supplies. We have tried 19 times to get a winner on this and still nothing. Tell me, tonight is the night. Arif is in Pollock. How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad. How are you?
Are you a good predictor?
Not really, no.
Do you know what, though? We're at the stage where somebody just would be as well been lucky rather than good anyway, because I keep mentioning this. We're barely even getting two out of three. Well, it's always just like one out of three at the most. So it's a pretty simple task, certainly. I don't know if it's simple to pull off, but here's the deal, okay? I'm going to give you three games. All you have to do is tell us the winner. Now, let me be clear about this, because I'm going to make it very specific. I'm going to tweak it for the cup. This is about who goes through, okay? I know normal, okay, like betting rules and stuff are like 90 minutes and all that. This is who goes through in the tie. Hopefully it makes it a bit easier. I don't know, Hugh. I'm clutching at straws here. So, Arif, here's what you're looking at. Three games. Livy against St Mirren. Who goes through?
St Mirren away win.
Okay. Stenhouse Muir against Morton.
Again, Morton away win.
Okay. And Hearts against Falkirk.
Has to be Hearts.
There we go. So, in theory, it should be easier because taking draws out the equation. Just asking for teams to go through. So, that's you. Enjoy the weekend's football, and it's all thanks to our friends at McNair's Building Supplies. We'll find out on Monday if you are going to be the winner of £1,800. Sound good?
Yeah, thank you.
Good man,
thank
enjoy you. Your weekend, Hugh Keevans. Don't know why I ask you, you're hopeless as well, but Livy, St Mirren, who goes through?
St Mirren.
Pile more pressure on Livy, more misery on them. Okay, Steny Morton.
Morton.
Hearts Falkirk.
Hearts.
Okay. Be interesting to see what Hearts. Hearts are my favourites. They're top of the league. They're home as well. Falkirk are pretty good. Falkirk's away record is better than their home record this season. I think that's one of the most impressive things about them, because it's easy to talk about, you know, the pitch, plastic pitch, their home surroundings. You assume when a team comes up they're going to be better at home. They've actually got slightly more points away from home than they do at the Falkirk Stadium. It's a great credit to them.
Yeah, really. Listen, we spoke about John McGlynn for the last couple of weeks and how good a job he's done at Falkirk over the years. Again, very unfortunate not to come away with something during the week against Celtic. But I seen bits of the Hearts Falkirk game early in the season in the league, and Hearts really dominated. So you'd expect John McGlynn to have something up his sleeve to maybe go there and come away and get through into the next round. I think Steny Steny could pull a shock against Morton as well.
Because Cammy Devlin, by all accounts, I think I saw 6 to 8 weeks. I think it was official words, but that's the suggestion, 6 to 8 weeks.
Hugh. Huge.
And
huge
Benny Beningham is suspended at the moment as well.
Cammy Devlin, you know, we're talking about player of the season earlier, and I said she would be my choice at the moment. It's a massive blow for Hearts.
Yeah, listen, I think obviously that endeavour that he has in the middle of the park, he's the legs, obviously very clever as well, and enticing tackles in. And he's been one of their star performers for me. So not having him and Beningame against Falkirk are strong in the midfield, good footballers in there, it could be difficult, but it's an opportunity for,
I was talking
for
more,
someone
kind
else
of
to come in and do well.
Longer term though, but Cammy Devlin as well. What, I mean, gonna presumably he won't be there against Celtic. And really this season he's been more than just the legs, hasn't he? He's been a real driving force in everything they've done.
Yeah, I think he's improved as a footballer this year. I think it's easier to do that when you're winning games, and he's been a key in their performances for Hearts. But listen, it's an opportunity for someone else. Will Hearts come out and try and get someone in, whether that's short term to the end of the season as well, just because how important the next kind of 3 to 4 weeks are for them.
Early stages at Ibrox, will keep you up to speed. I don't really know what happened, I must admit. I think Nasser Djiga was laid out for some reason and then ran to the wrong side of the pitch by the looks of it, and then it all took a bit. There's a speculative effort that just goes over Liam Kelly's bar.
From the centre back turned striker.
That would have been quite something. Is Tommy Muir, is that his name?
So he's, yeah. He came through as a centre back, didn't he?
Well, he's wearing their number five up front for Annan. And
he's striker now.
Just fired one over the top. First chance going the way of Annan Athletic. I think the guys have confirmed certainly that they expect a straightforward evening.
To be fair, they're getting after Rangers looking to press. They're not sitting in dropped off in the shape. They've just nicked the ball back there.
How tiring will that be as a part-time team on this pitch?
Yeah, it depends what they're like keeping the ball. Listen, you fully expect Rangers to, as the game goes on, to take full control. But fair play, they've went there, they've been brave, they're pressing Rangers.
Remind us of your answers to the teaser so far. So we were looking for the last 8 non-Scots to score a Scottish Cup final goal for Rangers. It happens to go back since to 1999. So you've got Nacho Novo, Lorenzo Amoruso and Peter Lovenkrantz.
Adam Vida.
He plays for Celtic.
For Rangers, it's just Rangers.
All right.
Jelovic.
You're going to have to...
No wonder you looked at...
You're going to have to rule out quite a lot of them. Jelovic, no. Did he score the League Cup final? No. Oh, you're struggling now.
Caniggia.
No. These are all League Cup kind of people, if you like, you're talking about. Rangers look a bit nervy at the back here. This
say
is
that. Very, nine changes though.
Very, yeah, I know, but come on. It's a very peculiar start. Annan have a corner, which Rangers have to defend. But you've got 4 to get between 99 and 2000. Do you remember that era?
Yeah.
These are amongst the earliest cup finals I can really remember, sort of as a, you know, as a neutral, if you like, being aware of the big Scottish Cup final day.
Just for clarification, they're not all strikers, are they?
No, absolutely not. But there is a striker in amongst them. So you don't remember the 99 final against Celtic, Hugh? The 2000 final against Aberdeen? There are 3, in fact, from the 2000 final against Aberdeen.
Van Bronckhorst?
Yes.
Alberts?
Yes.
Kinchelskis?
No. Blown it. So we're looking for 1 against Celtic 99, 1 against Aberdeen 2000, 1 against Queen of the South 2008. Anyway, whilst you're thinking, and I'm now asking you to talk to me while you're thinking, which
is
difficult.
Shocking,
any you'll have the chance to elaborate tomorrow, Hugh. Scott, you won't, but where's your shock, right? That's the obvious question in Scottish Cup final weekend. You'll be getting one. And I did say, I don't care if it's a small shock, a big shock. In our book, anything that involves a team from a lower division is a shock. So, you going your Steny Morton?
Yeah, I think Steny. Okay. Steny could nick that.
I mean, it's not brilliant. It's not going to be hold the back page stuff. But I'll give you, if you want anything else, any other. Is there a quirk here, Hugh, where all conquering, swashbuckling Motherwell somehow become unstuck in one of those football things that's just written where Stuart Kettlewell goes
no.
Struggling Ross County comes down and spoils it? No,
I can't make myself believe that will happen.
No.
I mean, Dunfermline Hibs, you never know. You know, the Hibs have had a lot on their plate. They'll be still thinking about the league and how high they can finish, etc., etc. And that, you know, Dunfermline with home advantage. Maybe, just maybe.
Michael Moles?
No. We'll get back to him in a second. We need to whisper it with our pals, but Montrose going to Partick Thistle?
Surely not. I can't believe that either.
Okay.
No. I see, even the Dunfermline Hibs one, I think Hibs are very strong at this moment in time. I would fancy Hibs. Looking amongst them, as I say, I think Steny would be the one also off the back of that 5-0 last week.
So there's not really one strong that loads of people are staring at then. Ayr at Tannadice?
No.
Nothing there for you either. Oh, what else are we left with? Camelin Juniors at home to Elgin.
Yes. Potentially, yeah.
Camelin. To have non-league side through to the next round, that would be quite something. Celtic Cove's a bit of an even match. Okay. Raith Rovers at Pittodrie.
Well, you raise an interesting point there, because Aberdeen, what is it now, lost four games in the bounce. They haven't scored a goal for 6.5 hours.
Don't have a manager.
Not got a manager. Bottom six. That would be a critical one for Aberdeen, where they could go out.
Again, it's that
they are the holders as well. Yeah. You know, so
it's that home advantage, isn't it, that just makes you think it's that bit harder.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps, but they are. You cannot minimise how poor they are at the moment. Four league games on the bounce, all lost, no goals for 6.5 hours. By any stretch of the imagination, that's poor.
Right, I think we are nearly there. You've got work to do on this teaser. So we're looking at the 8 non-Scottish players to score for Rangers in a Scottish Cup final since 99. Novo, Amoruso, Lovenkrantz, Van Bronckhorst and Alberts.
Havaladze?
Nope. Not remember the winner, 1999, 1-0 against Celtic. An Englishman.
Rod Wallace?
Yes. The remaining Aberdeen 2001 is Australian, and he is
Tony Vidmar.
Yes, well done. 2008, Queen of the South. So that's your kind of Manchester team, isn't it?
Yeah.
They were players from far-flung destinations.
Bad Batch.
Nope, further. The US of A.
DeMarcus Beasley.
Yes, oh. Well done, Scott Allen. It is Rangers 0, Annan 0 after 7 minutes. It's 7 minutes, right? I know, forgive me, but Annan are doing pretty well. Is that fair?
That's fair, yeah.
Right, I know it's 7 minutes. We'll see what happens, and whatever does happen, we'll reflect on it. And I am so excited about tomorrow. We all love this weekend in the Scottish Cup. A brilliant variety of fixtures. So make sure you join us at 2 o'clock. Really looking forward to that. Enjoy the rest of your Friday in the company of the GBX.